You know what we need? We need a radio show on the air, like maybe on Saturday nights, that talks about this kind of thing.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman here. I want to let my listeners know about a brilliant Renaissance man named Dr. Arthur Perry.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry? The best in plastic surgery.
He's a distinguished, award-winning cosmetic surgeon trained at Harvard and Cornell with a practice in New York City on Fifth Avenue.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur, and I want to applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
He's written numerous medical journal articles, and he's contributed to textbooks on plastic surgery.
Your remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
It's clear that when it comes to skin and aging, this doctor knows what he's talking about.
Joan, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
And welcome. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC, and a frigid winter. I guess it's not really winter. It's still autumn. It's still the fall, but boy, it sure feels like winter out there, doesn't it? You know, you're not going to get sunburned this time of year. I suppose you really don't need sunscreen, but you do. You do. You think you don't. But you do, because there is still ultraviolet light. And when it snows this weekend, well, if you're in Virginia, when it snows, you're going to get a double dose of ultraviolet light right in your face. That's right. This is the show that talks about sunscreen and about sunburn and skin care and wrinkles and all the things leading right up to those jowls and the bands in the neck and fat around your hips and all that stuff. That's what this show talks about. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon, and I am host of this show for a long time, into the 14th year of What's Your Wrinkle on these airwaves in New York, although only one more on WABC. I'm sorry, you're going to have to find me out down there on WOR after January 1st. That's 710 on the dial. We're moving. We're packing our bags. In fact, they've got the moving van outside right now, and we've got just one more week here. So remember, 6 o'clock, follow me over there. All right, so we're going to talk about cosmetic surgery this evening. We're going to talk about you, what you look like. We're going to talk about the dangers of lip injections. You know, it's so popular. Wait until you see the Golden Globes. Wait until you see the Oscars this year, the Emmys. Just watch the lips. Forget about the rest of the show. Forget about who wins. Just look at the size of those lips, and we'll be talking about that afterwards. But tonight I'm going to talk to you about someone who almost died, almost, from getting her lips injected. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. We're going to talk some frightening things, maybe. Maybe you could get cancer from breast implants? I'm not so sure. But we're going to talk about that, because that was in the tabloids this week. In fact, that even made the mainstream press. So we're going to talk about that. We've got a guest coming up in a few minutes. And we're going to talk about breast implants and their safety. Are they safe? I think they are. But we're going to talk all about that. We're going to talk about cosmetic surgery as a Christmas gift. Is that a good idea? What do you think? Give me a call if you've received cosmetic surgery for a Christmas or Hanukkah gift or a birthday gift. What do you think? The phone number here at WABC is 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. We're giving away bottles of Nighttime to callers this evening. Nighttime is one-stop shopping for skincare. It's got everything you need, even in the winter. It's got everything you need. It's got vitamin A, vitamin C, fruit acids. It's got skin brighteners, antioxidants. I've got milk thistle in there. Milk thistle is great. So that's what we put on your skin at night. It's a light serum. You don't need anything else at night. We're giving away bottles to legitimate callers. You have to have a good question for me. You can't just call up. Some people think, well, I'll just call and hang up. Nope. You have to have a question for me. But I know you have good questions, because there's lots of you that are going to your plastic surgeon this week. You have no idea what to ask the doctor. And maybe you're talking about those new gummy bear implants, the breast implants, or maybe you're talking about a rhinoplasty. This is the show to call if you've got questions. Or let's say on Monday morning, your doctor is going to meet you bright and early in the operating room for your procedure, but you forgot that one question. Well, you can ask me. Yeah, I might have a different answer than your doctor, but you can sleep easy over the weekend if you get your questions answered. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, board-certified plastic surgeon, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. WABC. All right, so let's get to our first topic. How about the British woman who nearly lost her lips? This is an amazing story. Nearly lost her lips when she had wrinkle filler injected into her lips. All right, here's what happened. Now, she was at a Botox party. Those of you who have listened to me over the years know that I abhor Botox parties. I mean, they're just such a bad idea. It sounds good to you, right? You go for free, you get a little introduction by the plastic surgeon or the dermatologist or maybe the emergency room doctor or maybe a nurse. Or in the case of this woman, it wasn't any of those. It was a beautician, an aesthetician, who incidentally just got out of jail, by the way. That's sort of a little side note. But so she was doing a Botox party in London or outside of London. And what is that? You know, you get a little bit of wine. She gives a presentation. She says, let's, you know, get the first person here on the couch, and let's go ahead and do some Botox on her. And so she did a bunch of women. And then as she was doing this one woman, who's she's a 29-year-old woman named Rachel Napier, she got Botox injected, and the esthetician said to her, you know, you've got a bump on your lip. I can make your lips look a lot better and hide that bump. What she did not know was that was what was called a Venus lake. You know what that is? A lot of you have these things. There are little bumps on the lips, and they're kind of bluish, reddish, and you might even feel them pulsate just a bit if you're very quiet and you put your tongue or your finger there. Well, these are blood vessels, and some of them are arteries, and some of them are veins. The one she, I believe, had, based on a picture I saw, I think it was a Venus lake. Well, this esthetician didn't know that. How could she? She's an esthetician. She's not an MD. She wasn't even a nurse. But that didn't stop her. She injected filler into this woman's lips, and within seconds, the lip just blew up, and the pictures are on the internet. I mean, her lips look like salamis or bananas or something. It's unbelievable. And what she did was she injected the filler into a blood vessel, and I think it was a vein, because then the arterial blood comes into the lip and fills it up, and the lip fills quickly and looks terrible. Her upper and lower lips look terrible. She left the party. She called various people, wound up going 3 days later, it's an amazing story, to a clinic in London. They injected something called hyaluronidase and thankfully saved this woman's lips. Was she in danger of dying? No, not from this, although there have been strokes, there have been blindness from errant filler going into blood vessels. So what's wrong with this picture? You know, first of all, I mean, at so many levels, don't do Botox parties. Don't go to a Botox party. Why would you go to a Botox party? They're just not good ideas. You know, your privacy is gone at a Botox party. You cannot tell the physician, nurse, or whomever it is injecting you what the real medical issues are, because you don't want your friends to know that maybe you had an STD a couple weeks ago or something like that. You never know. So there's no privacy. Is there sterility? It's kind of questionable. You know, I do these procedures as sterile procedures, sterile gloves. Botox is not sterile. It's clean. Filler is a sterile procedure because that is an implant. I wear masks, I wear sterile gloves, I prep the skin as if we were in the operating room. Do you think that happens at a Botox party? I don't think so. And then what happens if someone faints? Are you ready with your crash cart at a Botox party? Just a real bad idea. You know, medical procedures belong in doctor's offices. They are not entertainment, and they're certainly not party material. So from a party standpoint, not a good idea. And from an informed consent standpoint, did this woman have an informed consent? I can't imagine she did. And what on earth is a beautician, that's what they're called in England, or an esthetician doing injecting fillers? She has no idea. Do you know the lips have a lot of blood vessels? The labial blood vessels are fairly large. And if you do get filler in these blood vessels, you can do exactly what happened in this case. You can lose your lips, and it is not a pretty picture. So, you know, this happens over and over again. I would imagine that people who listen to this show are not at pretty high risk for that, because you're an educated audience. You've been listening to me for a long time, and you know that you're not going to go to a Botox party. You're not going to have injections by a non-qualified person, and you're going to protect yourself. So yet another story. I tell you this. It was in that definitive journal called the New York Post. You all read it, and you'll probably find the pictures of her on the Post and on the Internet all over the place. It's really an amazing story. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. The phone number, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. So rhinoplasties are one of the procedures that I do a lot of. Rhinoplasties are also called nose jobs. You know, it's not a nice name, really. It's a derogatory term. But rhinoplasty is the technical term. It's nasal reshaping. And what is it? It's actually the most challenging procedure in all of cosmetic surgery. It's the procedure that I do a lot of and I enjoy the most because it is the most creative procedure in all of medicine, probably. Really, not just plastic surgery, but in all of medicine. No two noses are alike before the procedure, and no two noses should be alike after the procedure. If they are, by the way, that's called a signature nose, and you've probably seen some of those, the plastic surgeons or otolaryngologists who perform rhinoplasty, and everybody looks the same. Well, we don't want that. We want to individualize your operation. But one of the things that does happen after surgery is a little bit of swelling. So we're going to talk when we come back from our break about what you can do to control the swelling of your nose after rhinoplasty and get out there in the public maybe a little bit earlier. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. The phone number, 800-848-9222. 800-848-WABC. And when we return, we're going to talk about rhinoplasty and what you can do after this nose job procedure to make yourself look better. By the way, Facebook, facebook.com/Dr. Arthur Perry. Check me out on Facebook, and you'll be up to date on all the interesting things in plastic surgery, like what I'm going to talk about with noses and pictures of that young lady who almost destroyed her lips. We'll be back after these words.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, board-certified plastic surgeon, host of this show. And I hope you are enjoying learning about cosmetic surgery, learning about skincare, learning about how to protect yourself from maybe unscrupulous people out there. This is the show that kind of teaches you how to take care of yourself as it pertains to your appearance. You know, not your liver or your heart. We're talking about your appearance. Well, we were talking about rhinoplasties, by the way. Rhinoplasties are nasal reshaping operations, one of the more common procedures in cosmetic surgery, and probably the most difficult procedure in cosmetic surgery. And the reason it's difficult is because everybody heals differently, and there is no way for the plastic surgeon to know exactly what your cartilage will look like once he or she lifts up your skin and takes a look. The reason for that is there's no imaging test, there's no CAT scan, there's no ultrasound, and so there are surprises that do come up. I am constantly amazed when I do a rhinoplasty and I see a crack in the cartilage that we could not detect earlier. And then after the procedure, I ask the patient, you know, did you ever break your nose? You had told me no. And then they tell me, well, when they were 7, they got a terrible sleigh riding injury, or their brother hit them with a rock or something like that. And it all does come out. But it is very interesting. So the rhinoplasty procedure is a procedure where I reshape the cartilages and the bones of the nose. And when I do that, we usually have to narrow the nose. We usually make it smaller, but sometimes we make it a little bit bigger, and we do change the angles of the nose. The procedure that most of us do now is called an open rhinoplasty. And what is that? That's where an incision is made between your nostrils. Just a little tiny incision. It's about a quarter inch long, maybe a third of an inch long. Very difficult to see, but what that little tiny incision does is it allows the plastic surgeon to see the cartilages and bones in your nose in a very straightforward way, as opposed to the old way where all the incisions were made from inside the nose, and then the operation is done sort of inside out and upside down. So the open rhinoplasty leads to a much more precise operation. And so most of us use perform open rhinoplasties. But one of the problems of an open rhinoplasty is that you can get a lot of swelling in the nose for a long time. So I tell my patients that it's a full year before all of the swelling has settled down. It really is. But, you know, for the most part, within 2 weeks, you can get back in front of others. You can go back to work. You can go to a dinner engagement. I would not be the star of the dinner engagement at 2 weeks, but certainly you look reasonable. And then as time goes on, the swelling goes down, but swelling goes down and scarring actually increases as time goes on. So what happens to your nose is that there's often an extended period of time where you're not really seeing the definition of your nose. And so we sometimes ask patients to tape their nose afterwards. And you say, well, what on earth is that? Well, taping is kind of just like it sounds. We take usually paper tape, and we take flesh-colored paper tape, and we apply it. The plastic surgeon will put some glue on the nose and then put the tape strips down in the nose fairly tight to sort of squeeze out the swelling. So that's been done for a number of years. I've done it. I do it occasionally. I don't do it in all cases. I probably do it in about 1 out of 5 rhinoplasties because you don't really want to walk around with tape on your nose. But the question really is, does it work? And there's so many things in cosmetic surgery that we do that do not necessarily have scientific basis. And then you say, wait a minute here. What do you mean it doesn't have scientific basis? How is that possible? Well, you know, surgery is kind of an interesting field. It's a mixture of extremely high-tech, very skilled procedures, and a lot of mythology also. And some of that mythology is taping of the nose. So the reason I mentioned this today is there was a paper that was just published in the Aesthetic Surgery Journal that I'm actually a reviewer for that journal, but I didn't review this particular paper. But they took 57 people after rhinoplasties, and some of them they taped their nose, and some of them they did not tape the nose. And lo and behold, interestingly, the patients that had their nose taped certainly did have a quicker resolution of the swelling of their nose. So taping works, that's the bottom line. But the question is, do you want to walk around with tape on your nose for 4 weeks? That's what they did in the study. And most of my patients would say, of course not. Why would you want to do that? So we have a technology that's very low tech, that's taping, that does work. A reasonable compromise. Most people do stay hidden for about 2 weeks after rhinoplasty. I take the splint off at 1 week. That's a type of fiberglass splint. I take that off at 1 week. The lesson from this paper is the 2nd week, let's go ahead and tape your nose. The 3rd week, let's take the tape off and let you get back into business. And certainly, you'll have some benefit from the taping, and you won't have an extended period of time with that tape on your nose. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. The phone number, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. So how many of you have heard me talk about Plexiderm? I bet you a lot. And the reason I know a lot of you have heard me is because at the company, they tell me, wow, there are an awful lot of people that listen to the Dr. Perry show, What's Your Wrinkle, because we know they're calling and asking for Plexiderm. So I've been talking about this substance for, I guess about 3 or 4 months now. And it is one of those things that really does work. And you say, well, what is Plexiderm? What are you talking about? If you haven't watched cable TV, then you might not know about Plexiderm, because those commercials are absolutely, they're spellbinding. They really are. You look at the commercials and you say, that's a substance that can't possibly be real. So what is it? It's something that you put on your skin. Plexiderm is it's like a serum. You put it on your skin, and as it dries, your wrinkles go away, and the bags under your eyes disappear. You can put it on your forehead. You can put it on your cheeks. You can even put it on your neck. You can put Plexiderm anywhere, I suppose other parts of the body, but we won't go there. Plexiderm is a substance that actually works, and the way it works is as it dries, it decreases your wrinkles, it tightens the skin. It's not skincare. Skincare is defined as something that actually does something to your skin long term. Plexiderm is more like a makeup. And women out there, you know, you've been wearing makeup since you're 12, 13, 14 years old, and you hide blemishes, and as you get older, you hide wrinkles, and you use progressively more makeup to your foundation and this and that. And Plexiderm just comes into play as you get older and you see those wrinkles and particularly bags under the eye. You know, I would love for you to come in my office and I'll do a blepharoplasty. That's an eyelid lift on you. But so many of you just don't want to spend your time in the operating room. And so that's where Plexiderm comes in. So Plexiderm, you put it on, you go about your business, because in 2 to 3 minutes, it makes you look better. If you wash it off, you look exactly like you did before. But that's okay. So keep your skin dry. Check yourself in the ladies' room here and there. Bring some of that Plexiderm with you on those dates or to the television station, wherever you're going. The phone number for Plexiderm, you get a 50% off the normal rate if you use this phone number. You tell them you heard about this on the Dr. Perry radio show, and here it is. Ready? Write it down, 800-925-9963. That's 800-925-9963. That's Plexiderm. I'm going to give you one more time. We'll say 800-925-9963. Now, my next guest is Dr. Robert Herbstman. Dr. Herbstman, I have known him for, I guess, about 30 years. He's a plastic surgeon in New Jersey, and he is the president of the New Jersey Society of Plastic Surgeons. Dr. Herbstman, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Dr. Perry. Good evening.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time on your Saturday evening. I know you're a very busy guy being president of the society this year. So what we're going to do, Rob, is we're going to start our little discussion. We're going to take a break at 6:30 because we have those commercial things we have to do. And then we'll come back and we'll finish our discussion after the break. That sound reasonable?
Sounds great.
Okay. Well, the reason I have Dr. Robert Herbstman on this evening is because in the media, in the newspapers, in the tabloids, on the radio last week, you probably heard about maybe some not so great things about breast implants. And, you know, I've been doing breast augmentations, as has Dr. Herbstman, for, my goodness, 30 years. And they've had an interesting up and down with a lot of controversy. But in general, breast implants are wonderful devices. They are very safe, and perennially, they're the most common procedure in cosmetic surgery. But this week, the media was talking about maybe lymphoma being caused by these implants. Dr. Herbstman, tell us, is that true? What do you think about this?
Well, Art, I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to be with you this evening. As the president of the New Jersey Society, we're all about patient safety and education, and we're trying to dispel fears and really raise awareness of this relatively new topic. As you know, plastic surgeons have been aware of this very rare type of lymphoma that has had some connection with breast implants, although very, very rarely do we see it. And it's been on the radar for a couple of years. Recently, it's gotten media attention, and we are now trying to communicate with our patients and give them an accurate idea as to what's doing. So I can certainly give a little background. It's a very unusual type of lymphoma that we don't see very often. Most women with implants will not have any chance of developing this type of an ailment. And there's only been one type of implant that's had some association with the lymphoma.
All right, so we're going to keep people on the edge of their seats, Rob Herbstman, Dr. Robert Herbstman, plastic surgeon from New Jersey, president of the New Jersey Society of Plastic Surgeons, because we've got to take this break. We're going to be back. We've got more of Dr. Robert Herbstman and more of this very unusual problem with breast implants. We'll be right back.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. This is the show about you. The phone number here is 800-848-9222. Tonight, we're speaking with the president That's right, the president, not of the United States, but of the New Jersey Plastic Surgery Society, a friend of mine, a plastic surgeon in New Jersey who is a wonderful guy and a wonderful plastic surgeon, Dr. Robert Herbstman. Dr. Herbstman and I have been talking about this this cancer that has been found in a very rare number of women that have had breast implants. Now, Dr. Herbstman, you were saying there's one particular type of implant that has been implicated. Tell us about it.
I would like to clear up a couple of things. The first is that this has nothing to do with silicone gel, which people had been worried about many years ago. It has nothing to do with silicone gel or saline. It's the surface of one type of implant that has a frosted type of coating. And the feeling is that in these rare number of cases, there may be some inflammation or an inflammatory response that a patient may develop to that frosted surface. Again, I want to emphasize that the vast majority of patients with those implants will not develop this problem. So there currently is no alarm in terms of people needing to have their implants taken out or changed or have any other surgery. The message is to keep contact with your plastic surgeon, and we can certainly discuss some of the things that we want to watch out for.
So now, what are the symptoms? I mean, how does a woman know that there's a problem with her breast implants? What happens?
The main symptom that we're seeing in those rare patients is the development of significant swelling or enlargement of the breast. And often it's years after the surgery. So we may be talking about 2 years, 5 years, 10 years later, where for no reason one breast will become much, much larger than the other breast. Again, not something that's subtle, but a very large fluid accumulation. And that really is the early sign that should bring that patient to the attention of their plastic surgeon.
So now, if someone does get that kind of swelling, they go to their plastic surgeon, what does the plastic surgeon do then?
The plastic surgeon is obviously going to look for any other issues, whether there's been some trauma or things like that. In the absence of any type of event, the first thing we do is to actually do a very minor procedure where we just draw some of the fluid off and actually analyze it. And that typically will be diagnostic of whether or not this inflammatory and potential lymphoma process is happening. As I mentioned, most of the time that's not the case, and these things can be managed in whatever the normal way the plastic surgeon might choose to do so. If there is some indication of abnormality with the fluid, then the curative procedure is to essentially undergo an operation where we remove that implant, we remove the lining of the implant space, which is a common procedure that we do for other reasons, and a new implant can be put in, and as our research has shown, for the vast majority of patients that may have this issue, that's a curative procedure.
And usually we're talking about now putting in a smooth implant as opposed to the textured type of implant, as you were mentioning. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. There's been no research to have shown that any of the cases have developed in patients who have a smooth surfaced implant. That being said, again, the textured implant, in some studies, it's been one out of 30,000 patients. So this isn't a cause for alarm amongst patients. We're trying to get the word out to the general public that we want to raise awareness, because when treated early on, these are completely curable.
And I think that's the important message for you listening today. Women who have had breast implants or are considering having breast implants, do not be alarmed. This is such a rare thing. I mean, literally, we're talking about a few hundred cases in the world. And, you know, I think when you really think about the numbers of women that have had breast implants since 1962, Rob, it's in the 10, 20, 30 million. I mean, millions and millions of women. In the United States, a few hundred thousand every year, and that's just for cosmetic reasons. There's also reconstructive reasons. So the numbers, I think, are very, very small. That's not to belittle this problem. It is something to be concerned about, but it is not something to lose a lot of sleep over. Do you agree?
Absolutely, and we are working very closely with the FDA. We're very proactive. We are, as a society, collecting data from any of our members who do come across a patient with this issue. And so unlike many, many years ago, when we were really not on top of these issues, we now really are able to communicate effectively with our patients and give them a realistic idea of what's going on.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time in your Saturday evening. Dr. Robert Herbstman, plastic surgeon from East Brunswick, New Jersey, and a great guy and the president of the New Jersey Society of Plastic Surgeons. Thanks so much, Rob.
Great being with you. Have a happy holiday there.
Thank you. You too. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. The phone number, 800-848-9222. We've got Kathy on the line. Kathy, what can I do for you? What's your wrinkle?
Hi, I'm 77 years old, and I just, you asked about Christmas presents. Well,
what do you want, Kathy?
I had my wrinkles around my lips done yesterday.
Well, congratulations.
So I would look nice for Christmas and nicer. But I do, you know, I am older, but, and I've had stenosis. I've had surgery on my neck, and I don't like my neck. There isn't much of it.
Okay, well, what's your question for me?
What should I do to improve my neck, that area of my face and my neck?
Okay, so you've had filler, and your neck, are you talking about you have a what we call a turkey gobbler, something like that, extra skin, fat in the neck, bands in the neck? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I don't have a lot, but yes. And I feel like my neck is so short that I really need to get rid of the skin around it, make myself look younger.
Okay, so you're 77. Now, you said you had spinal stenosis, did you?
Yes.
Okay.
I've had neck surgery.
All right, but are you generally healthy? Is your heart okay? Or
Yep.
Okay, good. So you're 77. You are not too old for a facelift. Maybe if you were 87, I'd say, you know, maybe a little on the high side there. But 77, you're not. So when we talk about the neck, there really are only a few things that we can do for your neck. There is the non-invasive procedure called Ulthera, but it is very limited in what it can do when you're 77 years old. It can tighten the skin a little bit, but not a lot. If you're 77, more than likely, it is a facelift. And a facelift is a procedure that is done all the time under local anesthesia with sedation. Now, I have to tell you, Kathy, I would make you, if you were my patient, I would make you have a stress test, an electrocardiogram EKG stress test with a cardiologist first. Because if you pass that stress test, you should do just fine with a facelift. You know, yes, there are other things that can happen, but that's the big one. So if you pass the stress test, you have a facelift. A facelift is a 3 to 4 hour procedure done under sedation. That means an anesthesiologist is there giving you sedation. And what we do, it's kind of a poorly termed operation because it sounds like facelift. Is it a neck lift? Is it a cheek lift? Well, it's usually both. So we make an incision under the chin, and I suction out some fat. Most people have some fat. Some people have fat under the skin. Some have it underneath the muscle. And we see the bands of the neck. Those are the Katharine Hepburn bands. If you're 77, you've got them, Kathy. And what I do is I sew them together, actually under the skin. So you don't see anything from the surface of the skin. I sew those bands together, and then we turn your face to the side, and I lift up the skin in two layers. We lift the skin up, and we lift your jowls up, because at 77, I bet you have jowls, right?
I think so.
Well, those jowls,
yeah.
If you don't have jowls, you're an alien, because you have to have them. Yeah, you really do, because what they are, when you're 20 years old, you have a nice sharp jawline. But then the fat and the muscle begins to descend and create what is called a jowl, breaking up that nice sharp jawline. So we remove a little bit of fat from that jowl and suspend it, lift that up in its own separate layer. And so we lift the jowl, we lift the skin, and we tighten the bands. That is a facelift. That is the best procedure for Kathy, even if you're 77. So my advice to you is, before you see the plastic surgeon, go see your internist. Ask your internist if he or she thinks you're healthy enough to have a facelift. And if you are, go ahead and get a stress test. And then go see the plastic surgeon. All right, Kathy?
Can I ask you approximately what range of money are we talking about?
It all depends, and it could be anywhere from $7,000 to $10,000, depending on the surgeon, the location, and where it's done, whether it's in the hospital, surgery center, or the office. We've got to go. We'll be back after these words. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry.
And what is your wrinkle? I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, host of What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC for at least one more week. You know, you heard that commercial about my skincare. I've got some really great products. Of course, I'm biased, right? You know, I created these products, but I did it for you, for my patients, because I was not particularly happy with what was out there. Because there are so many things that just don't work and so many things that are toxic for your skin. So I created this skincare that has worked out wonderfully, and my patients swear by it. And I think if you've used my products, you know what I'm talking about. This isn't hype. This is real. Well, we've got our kits. They're ready as Christmas presents. They're really very nice. You know, the thyme plant looks kind of Christmassy. It's red and green. So these look like I've made them up for Christmas, but they always look like that, but they make wonderful Christmas gifts. So the kit, which is called the basic kit, has a bottle of, it's called Daytime, that's the SPF 20. It's got niacin and vitamin B5 also. It's really nice. It goes underneath your makeup. You put your makeup on. Clean Time is the soap. There's a bar of Clean Time. There's a bottle of Daytime. There's a bottle of Soft Time. That's the moisturizer. And a bottle of Nighttime. So that's in the complete kit. You've got all four substances, all four products, and that's all you need. You don't need anything else. You don't need toner. You don't need makeup remover. You don't need any of those things. That's it. The basic kit is exactly the same, except we've left out the moisturizer because many of you do not use moisturizer. I personally don't think most people need it. How's that for being a salesman? Wow. You know, I sell a product and I tell you don't need it. Well, a lot of people won't give it up, and that's why we have it. It's a very nice moisturizer. This time of year, it is reasonable because it's so dry in your heated apartments. The humidity is arid. Your hands get those little cuts around them. Your lips get chapped. They start to bleed even this time of year. So a moisturizer is reasonable. Both of my kits are on sale. Go to the website. It's drperrys.com. You can use the WABC50 code and get a $55 basic kit. That's pretty good, I'll tell you. Normally, that's $110. We have also, if you copy down this one, it's the Skin 2018 code, and that's where you get the complete kit for $99. So you can choose whichever you want, either the basic kit or the complete kit. They make great Christmas presents. If you order this week, you're absolutely guaranteed to get your kits to your relatives or to your wife or whomever for Christmas. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. The phone number, 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. So what about giving cosmetic surgery as a gift for Christmas? You know, it's one thing to give skincare, a commodity, a measurable thing. What about if you decided, you men out there, that you're going to give your wife a facelift for Christmas? And you call my office up and you say, well, how much is it? I'm going to pay for it in advance, and she'll come in for her consultation. What do you think of that? Do you think that's right? Do you think it's good? You know, there's a lot of questions about giving surgery as gifts. Let's take a few scenarios. So here it is. Your wife opens up her package on Christmas Day, and in it is a little envelope from me that says, Dr. Arthur Perry will perform your facelift on you at no charge because your husband just got that for you or your boyfriend got that for you. And then you look at him and say, I don't think I needed a facelift. And that could be a bad thing, don't you think? Think about that one. If someone is offended by the idea that, you know, you thought she needed cosmetic surgery. Maybe she doesn't need cosmetic surgery. Maybe she doesn't want cosmetic surgery. Or let's take another scenario. Let's take the scenario where she says, thank you so much. This is wonderful. She comes to my office, and I look at her and say, you know, you've had a heart attack. You have lupus. You have this. You have that. And you're 96 years old. And I just don't think you can tolerate a facelift. What do you do then? You know, he's paid for it already. You know, so the giving of a gift of cosmetic surgery sounds good. And I know that a lot of plastic surgeons are doing it. You know, it's really very iffy. There's a lot of pluses and minuses there. So think real carefully. You know, give me a consultation. That's not unreasonable because a consultation is a consultation. Maybe giving a complete kit, that's not unreasonable. But I'm not sure I would gift someone a pair of breast implants, you know, an operation. Honey, I think you need your breasts larger. Well, I don't think I need them larger. Okay. So you could see all sorts of things. I'm not wild about giving cosmetic surgery as a gift for Christmas or Hanukkah or your birthday. You know, I have these discussions with my patients all the time, and it does get a little dicey sometimes. So anyway, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle? Right here on WABC, where we're talking about all sorts of fun things. I wanted to go back just for a second to the topic that I opened with, the lip injections, and the young lady who had a disaster from lip injections. Now, you know, I do an awful lot of wrinkle filler, and many of you have heard me talk about it on this the show for a long time. I love doing wrinkle filler. A lot of plastic surgeons don't particularly enjoy it. They delegate it to associates or nurses or whomever. I don't think that's the greatest idea. I take it very, very seriously, and I spend a long time, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about how I do filler, because that is something that you could have before Christmas, before New Year's at this point, and look significantly better, because it is one of the biggest bang for your buck procedures in all of cosmetic surgery. You know, there are some procedures that are fairly subtle, and then there are procedures that are not so subtle. So if you looked at Cool Sculpting, for instance, in my opinion, the results are extremely subtle. But liposuction is a procedure where the results are not subtle. And fillers, that's a procedure that the result is not subtle. And when you can come into the office for an hour or so appointment and walk out significantly improved, that's a good thing with relatively low risk. Now, you heard about the woman at the beginning of the show who had a disaster. Disasters can occur with anything. And the way you decrease your chance of having a disaster with any procedure, whether it's a non-invasive procedure or an invasive surgical procedure like a facelift or a tummy tuck or something like that, is with education. And how do you do that? Well, you listen to the show. Maybe you get my book. By the way, still available, Straight Talk About Cosmetic Surgery. You can get it on Amazon. We talk about all these procedures on it. So what you want to do is stack the odds in your favor that you're going to have a good result. So how do you do that? First of all, you choose a board-certified plastic surgeon, someone that is certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery, okay, as opposed to someone who might have trained in plastic surgery but is not certified. And you say, they could be just as good, and that's true, and they might just have flunked the board exam, or maybe they just didn't think it was important to take it. But, you know, how are you going to know why they are not board certified? So the minimum level of that you should be looking for is certification by the American Board of Plastic Surgery. Beyond that, look at their medical school, where they went to. Is there a difference between Harvard Medical School and the University of Guam? Is there a University of Guam? I don't know. But, you know, there probably is. I think Harvard is Harvard for a reason. Look at the residency training. Where did your doctor do his general surgery and his plastic surgery or her plastic surgery training? That is very important. Look where your doctor has privileges. If it is a hospital that you never heard of, or if it's a hospital that was recently closed down for quality issues, that's probably not as good as Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital or Columbia Presbyterian, now New York Presbyterian Hospital. So you look at these the hospitals, and then also look on each board state board, the State Board of Medical Examiners in New Jersey and the Department of Health in New York, look up your doctor. It takes just a few minutes. You can look up and say, has my doctor been disciplined by the board, the state? Have they received a reprimand or a suspension or a revocation of their license and got it back? How many malpractice suits has my doctor had? These are all things that you can do to stack the odds in your favor. Then, when you get an appointment with a doctor, make sure, ask the doctor. Say, are you going to perform the procedure? Or will you delegate the procedure that you don't think is all that important, but I do, to a nurse? Ask, you know, it's fair to ask that. And if your doctor says, you know what, these are simple procedures and I let my nurse do them, well, you know, I'm sorry. What I would do is find the next person. Because it's your face, and if you want to wind up like that young lady from London that I talked about at the beginning of the show, well, you know, all right, granted, this was an ex-con who was an esthetician, not a medical person, but you know what I'm talking about. Stack the odds in your favor. The highest educated person to do the procedure is whom you want. So that's how you do it. And then when you're in the office, you know, there are certain things to look for. Make sure that your doctor is using real stuff. There was a front page article just this morning about Chinese fake filler and Botox. We're going to talk about that on my last show on WABC next week. So, you know, you want the real stuff, not the the counterfeit stuff. And ask to see the bottle. It's a fair thing. All right. The music means I've got to leave the studio. We're saying goodbye to Madison Square Garden and Bruce. But thanks so much for listening. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. Don't forget to go to my website, perryplasticsurgery.com. And if you want products, those great products, they're ready for Christmas. They're packaged. They're ready at on drperrys.com. Thanks so much for great engineering, and I hope everybody stays very warm this weekend because it's way too cold for me. We'll see you all 6 p.m. next week. Bye-bye now.
This program was sponsored by Dr. Perry Skindustries, LLC. The views expressed by the preceding program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinions of 77 WABC or Cumulus Media.